We're joined now via phone by Dr. Deb Stroman, UNC Kenan Flagler Business School and regular sports commentator here on WCHL. Deb, thanks for joining us. And what do you make of Tar Heel football? We're just a few days before the start of the season.
Well, I'll tell you, the whole world in this area, the whole world, of course, is South Carolina and North Carolina because of this rivalry. We're all abuzz about what's going to happen on Thursday night. Just the nature of the South Carolina hate for North Carolina, that's going to be a big part. You also have the coaching matchup, Steve Spurrier, who still has the history and tradition of what he did at Duke to turn around that football program, and now he's at South Carolina and he's turned that program around. So we have that going on with the coaches. We've got the star quarterbacks. North Carolina, of course, has a veteran returning, an accomplished player, and Marquise Williams, who's done an amazing job on the football field breaking Tar Heel records. And then the local product over in Raleigh, Faro Cooper. He's a star wideout, and some folks are comparing him to NFL players already. And then you have the Raleigh-Wakefield high star, Connor Mitch, who's going to be starting for South Carolina. So there's just a big buzz around this game.
And a big buzz around the Tar Heels as we head into the season. Not just the offense, of course, that's always exciting. It's Hilaire Fedora. They run 150 plays a game. It's really fast-paced. It's great. The defense has been much maligned over the past couple of years. This year, Gene Chizik's in. He's got a pedigree a mile long, and he's hopefully really turning the defense around, and we're getting reports to that effect out of training camp. What do you make of the Tar Heels' chances to do really well this year?
Well, I think it's going to be a very, very good year. Even though the competition is very strong in the Coastal Division for the ACC, Florida State, Georgia Tech, and Clemson are all picked as major bowl players. But I think North Carolina, because of the offense, having such a strong number of returning starters coming back, again, the focus with Larry Fedora is offense at a fast pace, so that's going to be pretty solid there. The receivers are unbelievably talented, from Quinshaw Davis to Mac Hollins, and of course Ryan Switzer. They bring a lot back. The question mark, as you mentioned, is the defense, but if you can switch from the 3-4 now going to the 4-3 defense, I really think they're going to surprise some people. One of the most important things that you can do at this level for college players is to make sure that they buy in, that they have the enthusiasm. Usually you don't get, you know, 6-7 All-Americans or top players in your league on one side of the ball. But if you can convince that player who can play above his talents, who can really buy into the team play and make sure the chemistry is right, you can ride that all the way to a major bowl. And from what I'm hearing on the ground, talking to the players, talking to the coaches, they've really, really bought into Gene Chizik's defense, and they are excited to go out and hit somebody and play ball.
Speaking with Dr. Deb Stroman, UNC Kenan Flagler Business School, and sort of going along those lines, how important is it that you've got a returning quarterback like Marquise Williams coming back, having already bought into Larry Fedora's system on offense?
Well, then, actually, what is a very competitive situation, as in with Marquise having to compete for his job. I think a lot of people will remember that in the spring there was a slight controversy, as in Mitch Trubisky had transferred in, a solid player, high school All-American, best player in his state, and some people said that Marquise's job was not solid. And so I think that really favored him, because he decided to go to work and prove that indeed what he had done in previous years was not a fluke. Marquise was exceptional in the off season, and the word is on the team is that he is their leader. Everyone is looking to follow him. He's going to prove that not only can he throw the ball like a rocket, but he does have legitimate speed and power to run when necessary. So it really, really elevated the team, having that competitive spirit for his job.
Game one is Thursday in Charlotte against South Carolina. First home game of the season, 9 days after that against North Carolina A&T. Illinois the following weekend, Delaware the following weekend, and then ACC play begins in the beginning of October. When are we going to really know more definitively how this season is going to go?
Well, I think for this season for North Carolina, Even if we don't win this game against South Carolina, we're going to have a number of games where we're going to have an opportunity to really showcase that we're going to win some games by 3, 4, 5 touchdowns. And as you mentioned, the Delaware, the Illinois competition are going to be really important for us. To lose to South Carolina early in the season is not going to be a major. I am expecting us to win. South Carolina is only a 2 to 4 point favorite in this game, and I do expect them to win. But even if we don't, I think just getting off to a strong start, being a 3-1 team, being a 4-1 team, I think we're going to see early on signs. And certainly people are watching UNC because of all that we've gone through with our athletic and academic departments over the past, 3-4 years. And so all eyes are on Chapel Hill. So just getting off to the early start is going to bring the momentum, and it's going to bring the media attention that the program needs.
Exciting season coming up, as always, for Tar Heel football. We're speaking with Dr. Deb Stroman, Keenan Flagler Business School. And I know the last time we talked, sort of moving up a level to the NFL, the last time we talked about the Washington football team in the NFL and all the controversy surrounding them. We didn't really talk so much about the specific issues surrounding their quarterback, Robert Griffin III, but that's starting to heat up again as we get closer and closer to the start of the NFL season. What do you make of this?
Well, I'll tell you, if this isn't a made-for-TV movie, watching what's happening in D.C., but it seems to be the common denominator is owner Daniel Snyder. Once again, he's being accused of just mismanaging his football team. Right now, Robert Griffin III, who was the 2012 Offensive Rookie of the Year in the NFL, now they're talking that Daniel Snyder is basically going against his coaching staff. The coaching staff wants to move Griffin. He has an amazing contract, and $6.1 million is guaranteed, but it's all based on what's going to happen to him in terms of his play. If they play him now and he gets injured again, the team cannot cut him until he's cleared to play again. And, of course, that means that the Washington football team could end up eating his salary. So they're thinking possibly do we get rid of him right now and possibly get a good deal for him. But if we hold on to him and he gets hurt, then Washington's stuck. Right now the thought is that against Miami, the upcoming game, that they want to play Kirk Cousins versus Robert Griffin III. And you can imagine what's going on in D.C. with all the fans who just believe that Robert indeed is the franchise and the face of the team.
And that was announced, I think, earlier today, Kirk Cousins' name starting quarterback. And Robert Griffin has suffered injuries repeatedly in the past. He's been kind of snake bit as far as that goes. Got a concussion in a preseason game against Detroit earlier in this preseason. And that really speaks to an issue that I think we've talked about before, which is that question of, and it's really flared up in the NFL and in college football and all the way down to high school and prep school football, but especially in college, like big time college in the NFL, that issue of how important is it to make sure that players are protected and kept as safe as possible in a naturally dangerous sport like football, while at the same time you're talking about, like you said, investments of $6, $7, $8, $10, $20 million.
Well, you're right. In fact, that is the talk of football today, whether you're at youth football, high school, college, or pro. How safe is the game? And there's no doubt that the studies are showing now that there is a decline in football participation. Now, the NFL, they've got their major marketing machine to state otherwise, but parents are now looking at, opportunities for their children. What makes sense? How can you have a great athletic experience without playing in a sport that has a very, very high risk for brain damage? And many parents, whether the research is very accurate, whether it makes a lot of sense, it doesn't matter. We're talking about emotions now. And so parents are moving their children towards soccer, lacrosse, baseball, basketball. And football is very, very concerned about this because this is the feeder, in particular for the NFL. In terms of Robert Griffin, some people say it's the coaching maneuvers from Mike Shanahan, the previous coach before Jay Gruden, that it was their fault. As in, why would you let this amazing player basically play recklessly? Didn't have a strong offensive line, and allowing him to run like he did versus getting down on the turf or on the field as quick as possible. He took some major hits. Also, we had the knee damage, and so many people are blaming this all on the coaching staff and how they actually allowed him to play in his first year.
And I assume this issue is never going to go away as long as there is such heavy pressure on the coaching staff to keep playing Griffin and players like him the way that they did, because the fans want to see that exciting play. And as long as there's that much financial pressure on owners to continue to milk players for as much as they can get out of them, considering how much money they're putting into them, right?
Yes, that's a great point. And you know, most people feel that these teams are definitely copycat teams, mm-hmm. in the sense that once a program wins a Super Bowl or an NBA championship, then the coaches will then go ahead and try to duplicate. And so there's thought in the NFL, do you need a pocket passer, a stand-up quarterback that's only going to run when it's desperation time, like a Tom Brady? Or do you want that quarterback who has the ability to run and will put that in as not only not a third option, but maybe a first or second option, like Seattle quarterback Russell Wilson? Mm-hmm. And so when you have a Robert Griffin that can do both, that's a great runner and a great thrower. Do you build him and make sure that he focuses on being a pocket passer, or do you let him go? So the jury's still out. I do believe that the New England Patriots are a very unique franchise, and to get a player and develop a player like a Tom Brady is very hard. With the speed of these defensive players today, I mean, you have defensive ends who run like linebackers and linebackers who run like defensive backs. I think you do need a quarterback that's mobile, and certainly it takes the pressure off the offensive line, not having to hold the blocks for so long. But I'll tell you, it's a very, very dangerous game, and the quarterback has to be built to last.
A lot to consider, and again, an issue that's not going away either at the professional or the college level. We're speaking with Dr. Deb Stroman, Keenan Flagler Business School, and before we let you go, getting back to the UNC South Carolina game coming up in a few days, what's your prediction for the final score?
Final score. So I believe that South Carolina will have a difficult time upholding our offense. I do believe that the stadium is not going to be dominated by South Carolina. I believe the Tar Heel Nation will come out. So I'm going to go ahead and say 24-17 North Carolina.
That's a low-scoring game for Fedora.
Well, it's opening. I don't know if they're going to run all of their offensive sets. They're not going to showcase everything, especially since it's not an ACC game.
All right, we'll find out in a few days. Thursday, September 3rd is when the Tar Heels take on the Gamecocks. We'll all be listening and watching with bated breath as that game gets underway. Dr. Deb Stroman, Keenan Flagler Business School, thank you so much.
Thank you.